believe in yourself, 'cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week was born in Buffalo, New York, and titles his youth Shame on Me. He earned a BS in industrial management from Clarkston University. One sermon in 1990 by Dr. Charles Stanley of In Touch Ministries transformed his life. And for the last 40 years, he's been extremely successful in the private equity sector. His name, Hal Rosser, and we're honored to have him as our guest. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible, a News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Hal Rosser, who is recognized to have completed more transactions in the restaurant space than any other private equity firm in existence. Hal, welcome. Real honor to have you.
Nice to be here, Jack. Do you mind if I open with a word of prayer?
We'd be honored, please.
Thank you, sir. Well, Lord, as we begin this show, we just lift up our country, Lord. We lift up our great nation. Be with all the people who love you and will come to know you. Lord, we are honored to have you as friend, the hope that you give us, and we just thank you for the blessings that you've bestowed upon us and our lives, and we're just thankful to be here today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Your childhood, you moved six times growing up, and you title your story, Shame on Me. Hal, why so?
Well, Jack, that's a good question. As you mentioned, I moved actually seven or eight times before I graduated or completed my high school years. My dad was in a high-pressure job in the insurance business. My mom, a nurse, came down with cancer at an early age. And I think I just didn't have any roots in my life. And so as we were moving around, for whatever reason, I always ended up leaning to the dark side. And I did a lot of things that, frankly, that had been bothering me most of my life. A lot of things that created a lot of shame. I got involved with drinking at an early age. Didn't really apply myself. I skipped school a lot, and I just had a feeling of general purposelessness and guilt, Jack. And that started early on, probably in the eighth grade.
You're a shining example of one set of footprints, Hal. You actually were arrested in Toronto. What caused that?
Well, on one of those nights, myself and a couple other of my colleagues were drinking, as we did on most weekends. We ran out of liquor early, and we were stupid enough to go break into a house of a friend of ours while the parents were out of town. We took most of the liquor out of their liquor cabinet, and we went to a party, and we brought all this liquor. And so we're there giving it out and handing it out. They pressed charges. So three of us were arrested for breaking, entering, and theft. And that happened in the when I was in the 11th grade.
You then graduated college, Clarkson University, industrial management. You got into business. You went to work for Citibank, Citicorp. You were very successful, but you kept drinking. How were you able to live those two lives successfully?
Yeah, that's a good question. I just think that you know, I could never have one drink, Jack. So when I started, I would drink many, but I was at an age where I think I could shield it, I could hide it. Come any event that was involved in business, you know, I'd jump right in. And I don't know why, but it probably lasted from when I was up until I became 42 years old. I was able to hide that. And 47 years old, actually. I've did many stupid things. I'm sure that other people around me saw that it was hurting me, but I just didn't see it. But fortunately, my career, you know, kept rising. I got more responsibility, and I was able to somehow get it done.
If there's a guy tonight that's very successful that has this silent life, and nobody's ever going to find out, and I'm masterful at living both of them, what would you say to him, Hal?
I would say it isn't a good life. And I think he knows that, and I know that. And it's just not something that is sustainable. It's hurting to you, but not only you, it's hurting all those around you. And, you know, alcohol, as we know, is a major problem. Many people can, I always admire the people, Jack, though I go out to dinner with today. They can have one glass of wine, be perfectly happy, and enjoy it. And I'm in no way condemning alcohol, but for some of us, I think the genes that I had in my family, my father had a similar issue, it just wasn't good for us. And I was able to give it up at a later point in my life, and I think it's probably the third or fourth best decision I've ever made in my life.
We're talking to Hal Rosser, and another good decision he made was one day he read an article about Walter Wriston. When we come back, we're going to talk about that man, Walter Wriston. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Krasula, and we're with Hal Rosser. Hal, you read an article one day about a man, Walter Wriston. Tell us about him, and how did it change your life?
Well, I my second job out of college, I joined a local bank. It happened to be the biggest bank in Buffalo, New York, Jack, called Marine Midland Bank, and it operated throughout the state. But as I was just getting my feet wet in business, I was reading the Wall Street Journal, and I'll never forget there was a full-page article about this company, First National City Bank, led by Walt Wriston. And I went on reading it, and it just described how at the time it was the largest bank in the world. He was the most innovative CEO in so many different ways, and they were just on a complete roll globally. And so that did change my life because it just so happened that First National City Bank, today called Citibank, expanded to upstate New York into Buffalo, and I was able to apply for a position there, and I was hired there. So it got me into what I would consider the most aggressive and fun financial institution in the world at the time.
Your wife, Rita, was a churchgoer before you were. And one day in 1990, one night, you were watching In Touch Ministries with a Dr. Charles Stanley, who I watch every Sunday morning or Saturday night. I love the man. He's helped me so much in my faith journey. He transformed your life. How so, and what was his message that night?
Well, Jack, my wife, one of my jobs at Citibank was I was the chief of staff and working out of Singapore for the man who ran all of Asia for in the institutional bank. And I had been traveling for 3 and 4 and 5 weeks at a time, had very little time at home with my wife and my then one son. And one day my wife went to church on an Easter Sunday in Singapore and actually was watching a movie where Johnny Cash reached out his hand, inviting, he played the role of Jesus. And on that day, my wife reached out her hand. She felt the Holy Spirit indwell her. She heated up, and at that point in time, she gave her life to Jesus. And I said, go ahead and do all that stuff, but please don't do it in front of any of my friends. Because it would, frankly, it's embarrassing, and I was really thrown back by what she had been doing. Fast forward, Jack, 8 years later, we moved back to the States. My wife was in a small group with a bunch of ladies, and she'd been praying for me for 8 years, really hadn't been pushing the gospel. But I've been toying with church. You know, we visited church from time to time. Again, I've never heard the gospel. But within that one weekend, it seemed like I went to hear a pastor at a visiting pastor at a nearby church. I had been meeting with, I'd met a new pastor of a local church. My wife had been praying, and I came home on a Sunday night, and I was upstairs just flipping channels all by myself in my family room. And at the end of his talk that night, you know, he gave them the invitation. And I got down all by myself in my family room, got on my knees, and at that point I surrendered my life to Jesus Christ. Now, everything didn't turn on that night, Jack, but it was transformational. And I began to meet with my pastor. I began reading the scriptures. I was amazed by what they had to see, and I needed a lot of help because a lot of it was Greek to me. But from that point on, my life did change, and I began focusing on, you know, what was a man? You know, why are we here? What are we supposed to be doing with our lives? What's our purpose? And I realized, Jack, that my that being a father and being a husband, I hadn't been doing a very good job. So that was the beginning of my journey, and that was in 1990. So that was 30 years ago today, Jack, almost.
From 95 to 2010, you were the founder and managing director of Bruckman, Rosser, Sherrill and Company, private equity. And in 95, you did the largest first-time fund ever at that time, $375 million. You guys were very successful. And then in 2011, you decide to leave and start your own firm, Rosser Capital Partners Management. Why so, Hal?
Well, I love the men I worked with at Bruckman, Rosser, Sherrill, but I began getting the itch of maybe trying to do something on my own. And a younger junior partner had come to me and said, you know, why don't we go up and set up a firm that's solely focused on primarily what I'd been doing, which is multi-unit restaurant investing and multi-unit consumer investing. And that intrigued me. And maybe more importantly, my son had joined the firm. And I really viewed it as a way to start up a firm that was closer to home, specializing in what I had done best, and also being able to go into business with my son, hoping one day to be able to turn the business over to him. It was a good thing. And so that's why we did it.
You did over 100 deals with Bruckman, Rosser, Sherrill and Company. You've done 25 with Rosser Capital yourself. What are the most important things you look for when investing in or acquiring a private firm, Hal?
Yeah, Jack, I've done 25 deals in my life at both at Bruckman, Rosser and at Rosser Capital. We look really for four or five things. It kind of goes without saying, Jack, you're looking at the quality of the management. Probably number one. Do they have a track record that's positive? Are they honest? Are they really suited for something where you're going to take on some debt and leverage? And, you know, it's going to be a bit of a sprint. It starts right out, Jack, with a single store economics. You know, what are the economics of a single store? You know, what is the return on investment of that store? Does it have, can it, sustained positive sales year after year after year? Are its margins strong enough? And can you, and probably most importantly, is it something that you can scale? Because you can have a restaurant or a consumer store, and it can treat one family very well. But if you're really trying to make something big, you have to be able to scale it and open lots of stores. So you're looking, is there white space? Is it a concept that you think can travel from geography to geography? And those are pretty much four or five of the major attributes we're looking for.
We're talking to Hal Rosser. He and his team have been very successful investing in restaurant-type franchise businesses, which is one of the hardest businesses in America. When we come back, when we ask him what he knows that none of us know. And this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula. We're with Hal Rosser, individually recognized to have completed more transactions in the restaurant space than any other private equity firm. You've invested in Steak and Ale, California Pizza Kitchen, Corner Bakery, McCormick and Schmitz, got the greatest mashed potatoes in the world, Rio Bravo, Logan's, White House, Ruth's Steakhouse, best steak in the world. 90% of restaurants fail in the first year, Hal. What do you know that we don't know?
We primarily invest in restaurants that have been open for, 5 to 10 to 15 years and have an established track record. That makes it a little bit more competitive because everybody else wants to do the same thing. But investing in startup restaurants, no matter how great the idea is and how good the location is and how good the chef is just risky, as you said. So we primarily focus on established or up-and-coming restaurant chains that we feel have already overcome all those initial obstacles that make so many restaurants fail.
This last 7 months with the COVID, the restaurant sector has just been decimated. They're hanging on by their fingertips. Talk about how tough that's been these last 7 months.
It's been very tough, Jack. And you hit it right on the head. You know, you have restaurants, first of all, that were closed. So no revenue. They still had their obligations of rent, payroll, et cetera. So the PPP program put in by the government for those who were able to get it was helpful. However, that money has run out, is running out. And so restaurants now that are opening again, depending on what state you're in, with say New York being the worst example, there's no inside dining to today. To other places where they might be allowing up to 50% inside dining are getting by in some cases, and they might be doing 50, 60, 70, 80% of what they were doing pre-COVID. Most of the restaurant businesses that are going to make it, Jack, have had to retool their model. They've had to simplify their menus. They've had to cut costs in some way without affecting the client. They've had to renegotiate their leases with their landlords. And they're going through that as we speak. And I'm still involved in several chains. And, you know, that's what we're doing. But nobody's making any significant money, you know, with the exception of the fast food space of people like Chick-fil-A, which are absolutely killing it. But people in the casual themes, in the casual dining space, or the non-quick serve space, it's very hard for them. And I expect that once the COVID money runs out, the PPP money, but once the winter comes, you're going to see a lot of independents, especially close, and maybe close forever. Now, they're scrambling too. I mean, the owners are back cooking where they hadn't done that in a long time, but it's been a real scramble. And so we haven't been able to determine how it's going to end up, but it's been very tough. If you had debt or leverage or loans, all that has to be restructured with your lenders.
You've learned to surrender to God. God has become your CEO, your compass. And you've got some observations that you've come to realize. If we could talk about a few of them. I quote you now, "What I've seen and experienced more than not is that living only for yourself leads to an empty life. There is no pain greater than the pain of self-absorption." Please.
Yes, Jack, I think I can state that because that's how I lived for many years. You know, I was living primarily for myself, how much money I could make, how much power I could have. I loved the position I was in, being able to walk into a company and decide, you know, how good were they and would be willing to invest in them. But after a long time, and I've been working now for over 50 years, I've come to realize that fulfillment in life doesn't come from how much money you have or how much power you have. Fulfillment in life really comes from your relationships with God, Jesus, and with other people. And that giving and receiving is really true, because my wife and I are supporting several different ministries and movements, and the greatest joy we have is being able to help others rather than, just striving to create more wealth for ourselves or think about ourselves only. And I've seen it in the business world. I work with them every day. You know, people who are doing exactly what I had done for many, many years. And a lot of them don't have a lot of internal peace. They don't have great family relationships. And, you know, where I can, I try to be normal with them and tell them, you know, go home, be with your family. That's more important than sitting here working for another 5-6 hours at work. So,
speaking of community and friendship amongst men, we're both involved with NCS, New Canaan Society. Talk to us about the need for men to come together in community and sharing.
I feel very strongly about this, Jack. A man cannot make it in life alone. And I think we've all seen isolated men, you know, captains of industry or captains in the church, or captains in government, get into trouble because they don't have anybody to be open with and real with and talk about the problems that they're facing, which we all have. No matter who you are, you have significant life problems. And so you can't go through life alone. And so New Canaan Society has been so helpful for me and for so many others for over 20 years, in that men come together, not in a religious, not in a judgmental way, but are able to share what's on their minds, what are they struggling with. My life has been significantly influenced and redirected.
If there's a man listening tonight that says, "I could never share my concerns, fears, anxieties with other men," that's a sign of weakness, Al.
Jack, when you are able to break down and admit your issues and your problems, I've found that once you do that, the whole conversation changes, and all those around you are relieved to be able to do the same. And I think our families and our wives are looking for us to stand up and be the leaders of our homes, not in a judgmental or in a masochistic way. You know, what's important in life? What does God have designed for us? And to honor our wives.
We're talking to Hal Rosser, and I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Jack Krasula, host of WJR's Anything Is Possible, the weekly radio visit, brings his 15 years of inspirational storytelling to hardcover. With God, anything is possible.
Anything is possible.
15 of Jack's more than 750 tales of defeating odds and achieving the extraordinary. Like Bob Woodruff, whose job covering the war in Iraq nearly cost him his life. And Nick Vujicic, the limbless evangelist who has stunned millions with his message of acceptance and grace. With God, anything is possible. Order now while signed copies are still available at trustinusllc.square.site. That's trustinusllc.square.site. And as Jack says,
make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohom.
Anything is possible.
I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible. We're talking to Hal Rosser, the founder and managing partner of Rosser Capital Partners Management. If you want to learn more, www.rosser, R-O-S-S-E-R, capitalpartners.com. Hal, talk to us about the silent disease that we call shame.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jack, as I alluded to earlier, I've struggled with shame my entire life. And even though I've come to know that that shame that I have has been forgiven and that I'm leading a new life following Jesus, all it takes is one little triggering event and it can put me right back thinking about whatever I had done to create that shame in the past, or whatever I hadn't done to create that shame. And the reason why I believe it's a silent disease is that it is a barrier to being able to love and to feel love. And as a result, and what it did to me, Jack, is I ended up putting on a false persona. You know, I would hide. I would pretend that I was somebody that I wasn't. And I look at the scriptures, and I can see there's so many cases there, which I've quoted before, where, you know, Jesus didn't see the lady at the well as a whore, or Jacob as a heel grabber, or the prodigal son as a foolish kid, or not the one lost sheep as insignificant, or even Peter, the disowner in which he built his church. And in all those cases, they had plenty to be shameful about, but Jesus still loved them. And it's important to know that Jesus is in the process, ever-ending process, of restoring and redeeming our lives.
Hal, another one of your observations, and I quote, "Looking back over the harder times of my life, I didn't realize Jesus' presence, but he was always been there for me." Please.
Yes, Jack, the Lord has always been with me. And I always quote that verse, you know, "He will never leave me or forsake me." And I really believe that. There are so many times in my life when I did things when actually my life could have been endangered. As I mentioned earlier, I didn't have parents most of my life. But he was always there. And he was there to direct me, to guide me, to lead me. As I look back now, there are just tens upon tens upon tens of cases where the Lord has been there for me, and I see it more and more every day. And I see it more every day now, how he's with me today. And it's a wonderful thing to be able to live a life knowing that the Lord is within you. He's for you. He's not against you. He's not trying to catch you, but he's there to love you. And he's there to hold you and inspire you and to bring you great happiness and to have that relationship with him, which is the most important thing that I still struggle with, because, you know, I can't see him, I can't touch him, but that personal relationship with Jesus for me is growing every day. And I must say, you know, I have to work at that, Jack, but it is so meaningful to know him as a not only as God, but as a loving person, Godhead, that's with me all the time and wants to be with me, and no different than me with my son. You know, I just jump off my feet when my son calls me. And I know that when I go to the Lord, he does the same thing. And so innumerable ways, innumerable times, over innumerable years. And I just would encourage everybody to know that he's with you. If you ask him to be in your heart, he will be with you. And he's been there for me, and it's made my life so joyful, so rewarding, and I love Jesus. So I thank him for that every day.
Another observation, and I quote you, "I'm slowly learning how to release my expectations from my closest loved ones, delighting in them as God created them to be. In doing so, I strive to be more patient, forbearing, and humble." Me personally, guilty as charged on that one, Hal. Talk about accepting loved ones as they are.
Well, that hits home, Jack, because that's been an issue with me, with my own family, with my wife, and with my son. We just have one son. And with my son, I just assumed that he would get into the same business that I would get in. And so I spent much of my life getting him jobs or helping him get jobs or having him take courses at school so that he would learn to do the same thing I learned to do. And what I have come to realize just over the last few years, that, you know, God has created us all individually. We all have different gifts, and that, in my case, my son came up to me several years ago and said, "Dad, I don't get the same kick out of this as you do. I'm leaving." And that was heart-wrenching at the time. But today, I couldn't be more excited for the godly man that he is and the individual that he created, and not try to impose my views, my thoughts, my ambitions on them. But that it's one of my biggest regrets in my life, is that I've done that for so many years. But I feel a real sense of relief and freedom of knowing that they're in God's hands. They don't have to be in my hands. But it started out at an early age, you know, what high school, what college, and, you know, and it goes on from there.
We're talking to Hal Rosser. Hal, these last 7 months have been brutal on so many people. Unprecedented times. What good can and will this crisis do for all of us?
I think in many cases it's brought people closer to God, because we all know that we are not in control. In many cases, because of what's available online, I believe that we've had access to be able to listen to some great speakers and been able to connect with people that we haven't connected with in our own lives for many, many years. That's certainly been my case. And I think it's obviously drawn us closer to the Creator. So when we come out of this, I think that many of the businesses have been, will be construed and reconstructed to be able to operate more efficiently. We can make it through this.
Hal, you speak about getting closer to God, our Creator. If there's a person listening that says, "Hal, I respect you, but things are going great for me right now. I'm firing on all cylinders. God will be there when I need him. I'll reach out to God when there's that tough time."
Well, I think I did that for many years, Jack. And all I can say is that, you know, life is good. And for many of us, it's easy to think that we didn't need God. But the true abundant life only comes, and it's just from my experience, the superficial things of life fall away, and the more important things of life that he designed for us take a larger and bigger role. However, I agree, Jack, that it's a real temptation. When things are going good, you don't need God. But I can also say two things. Things don't always go good. And we never know what's going to happen tomorrow. And to know him before the trouble comes is a lot better than knowing him after the trouble comes.
You're a shining example of letting go and letting God. How do we learn to do that, Hal?
That's a tough question, Jack. It really boils down to me to, do you trust him with every aspect of your life, or you just trust him with part of your life? And I'm still working on that in many areas. I don't feel that I've turned everything over. But I know that's the correct thing to do, Jack. That's my goal. And in so many places in Scripture that the Lord says that he will be with us no matter what. And that things do turn out for good. And maybe not good in a worldly sense, but we know that ultimately he's won the war. And so I'm putting my faith and my trust in him. And I'm letting go. And I try to let go. But it's a struggle. But I know that's the right way. And I've seen it in so many other people, Jack. One of the biggest things in life to me is to see radical transformation in people's lives. And I've seen it in so many people's lives. And it's so encouraging. And in those cases, those people have let go. So I want to be like that as well.
You've done a fabulous job. Keep up the great, great work, Hal Rosser.
Very good. Thank you.
Please join us next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohon.